So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 50, verse 1. And our baby Sophia. Oh, okay. All right. Verse 1. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for it, for that is how many are required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. And when the days of weeping for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, I am about to die in my tomb that I hewed out for myself in the land of Canaan. There shall you bury me. Now, therefore, let me please go up and bury my father. Then I will return. And Pharaoh answered, go up and bury your father as he made you swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father. With him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the household of Joseph, his brothers, and his father's household. Only their children, their flocks, and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. It was a very great company. So now we're going to skip down to verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this commandment before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Please join me in saying our scripture declaration. It's also on the board. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you, Tiffany. I appreciate it. Everyone, I am going to be finishing up the Joseph Sermon Series. We've taken a couple of weeks off, just a few things that have been happening in the world and then in our world here at EHC. But I just couldn't feel good and I couldn't feel comfortable that we would just simply walk away and not have an opportunity to really talk a little bit about what we've learned. We spent about 9 weeks with Joseph and looking at his life and kind of going deep on the things that he was experiencing and the things that he learned and the things that he became. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we can take away, kind of life lessons and the legacy that Joseph left for us. And so as we go through these things, I want to just share kind of where we've been to begin and then some of the things that we can take away as we move forward. So if you are not familiar, if you're just here and just learning, this is from the Great Lies from God's Word series by Chuck Swindoll. He has done all of these different characters and even more, but we have talked about Joseph, and he is the particular one that we are studying this year. We try to go through one of these books every single year because I don't know about you, but for me personally, whenever I look at a character, it's easier for me to leave their life and grasp some of the things and how it intersects with my life. Their autobiographies or their biographies are things that kind of stick with me a little bit more so than just simply scripture and the principles that I learned, because I'm a person who understands and grasps story, and we look at Joseph's story and how powerful it has been. So here's where we've been. Our something to learn is that this worldwide famine has continued, and Jacob, also known as Israel, he had his name changed, but he sends his sons to Egypt to keep them alive. There they run into Joseph, their brother, and he tests him, and they pass that test. We talked a little bit about that in that message that we called A Little Brother's Big Reveal. But especially when Judah, in a type of Christ, that means so showing us the characteristics of Christ and the things that he would be when he would come, Judah speaks up and he says, no, please don't harm my brother Benjamin. Let me volunteer and take his place instead. And so we see that Judah and his brothers have grown, and they are passing Joseph's test to see if they're different people or if they're the same persons that threw him in a pit, which led to him being thrown in a prison, and then eventually God rescuing him and bringing him out into a palace. So Joseph's only brother that was also born to his mother is Benjamin, and he has a very favored relationship with him. And then in a dramatic and beautiful scene, Joseph gives that big reveal of himself to all of his brothers. He tells them to come and live under his care in Goshen, which is a region of the nation of Egypt. And so we've been there. We've talked about all these different things. You can go back and look at that. You can also read that book from the Chuck Swindoll series about Joseph if you'd like. But let's look at God's word as well. And as you look here in Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 4, we look at what Tiffany was reading just a moment ago and talking about the brothers coming and joining him in Egypt. And it says, so Israel took his journey. That's Israel the man, not the nation. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, offered sacrifices to the Lord, the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions in the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. You can see the two different names here. And he says, here I am. In other words, I'm here, Lord, and I'm ready to act according to what you have to say to me. Here I am. And then he said, I am the God. I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. And notice this. Remember, I talked about that just a moment ago, that sea of victory and how God brings things that were meant for evil and he brings them around for good. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hands will close your eyes. And that is a beautiful thing, because God doesn't have to be that generous. He doesn't have to be that good and that kind. But as he says here to Jacob, he says, listen, when you die, Joseph is going to be there to be the one who closes your eyes. You will die a happy man with one of your cherished sons that you thought you lost, and he is going to be there when you pass, and he will take care of you up until that point. So it is a beautiful thing that brings this story all the way to a close. And then here is something else to learn. Chapter 46 opens with God speaking to Jacob that we just read, talking about the plans and how Joseph's two sons are going to be counted as if they were Jacob's sons, and they are those 12 tribes of Israel, and God makes of them a great nation. Pharaoh provides for them, protects his family. They live and work in the land of Goshen, a region there in Egypt, and they go from a family of a handful of men to being an absolute nation when God leads them out in the Exodus with Moses. You guys have all heard that story, right? And so this is the beginning of that story of God making the Israelites into a great nation. Now let me just share this with you as we kind of move forward. This is the big idea. God remade and redeemed Joseph, and as he does for all of us who allow him to do it. In other words, he remade him into someone new, into someone that he was not, but he also redeemed. What that means is, we hear about Christ, you guys know about Christ the Redeemer statue in Brazil, right? Why does it call him Christ the Redeemer? Because ultimately what being redeemed means is to buy back. is to buy back. How many of you guys have ever redeemed a coupon at your grocery store? You know what that means, right? Like you give them the coupon and they say, no. Okay, so I'm going to take off these things and I'm going to give you credit for that $2 or whatever it is. Whenever God redeems us, it means that he takes all of those things which have happened before and he brings them in to his plan. He uses those threads as something beautiful in the story that he is bringing about in your life. And I say again, I call again to that idea, those things that were meant for evil, that God can redeem, buy back, and bring for good. And I have talked with you guys before, and I've even shared with you before, that ultimately I look back on my life, and there's some things that were literally just like they could have broken me and changed my person and personality in a pretty dramatic way. Like I see some of the things that I went through when I was a kid, and I had a really good childhood. I'm not complaining, and I know many of you have gone through much more difficult things. But I look at certain points, and I think every one of us can identify something that really happened that could have gone a really bad way or could have gone really well. How many of you guys have something like that in your life, right? I mean, like maybe even like with an ex or something like that, it could have gone really, really badly, and God is in the process of redeeming it, buying it back and bringing it into your story now, but making it something beautiful and good. And so I want to share with you today, God remade Joseph into a new man, but he also redeemed him, as he will do for you and for me if we allow him. If we choose not to, then all those things are just simply things that have happened and we just have the scars. But if we see something beautiful come about because of God's power and his presence in our life, we have a brand new story to tell. All right, so if you guys are with me, give me an amen real quick. Amen? Okay, so let's say the big idea on the count of three. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. God remade and redeemed Joseph as he does for all who allow him. Let's do it this way. God remade and redeemed Randy as he will do if I allow him. Can you put your name in that? Can you see your name in that? Because your name exists in this as well. Because whatever you have gone through, God can bring it about into something beautiful and something good. And if you are right now in the process of walking through something that feels like it has no meaning, it has no purpose, it has nothing but negative and downside, I'm here to tell you that just like it changed me for the better, the things that I went through, that I was worried that could have broken me as I look back, I realized God had to break me, but I didn't get broken because of it, if that makes sense. Like God broke my heart, but he didn't break my spirit. He brought it about. And so it's a beautiful thing, and God is doing that in you and in me. All right, so let's talk about don't miss this. And you guys know normally I'll do this don't miss this. I'm going to go deep on this don't miss this. There's going to be quite a few. So hang in here with me. Who Joseph became over his lifetime and the characteristics that he developed is not where he began. Who he was at the beginning of the story is totally different than who he was at the end of the story. Over his lifetime, he became a man of humility, not pride. If you remember the early part, he was the kid who drove you crazy. He was the kid with the Technicolor coat, right? He was the kid that was the favorite, the golden child. I don't know if any of y'all were golden children or if you grew up with a golden child, but it's not easy, right? And in this story, Joseph was the golden child and all of his brothers hated him for it. And yet, God brought something about in him. He began prideful and ended in humility. He began with integrity, even when those who were around him didn't care, and he didn't know them, and they didn't know him. He was still a man of integrity. Do you remember whenever he was thrown into the pit and then moved to the prison? He was still a man of integrity. And do you remember in Potiphar's house, when nobody would have cared if he would have given in to Potiphar's wife, when she said, please come, be with me. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. How could I sin against God and do something like that? And how could I sin against my master who has trusted me with the whole household? And so even when nobody was looking, nobody cared, and even when nobody knew who Joseph was, he was still a man of integrity. This is part of what gets me. Like, I hear this and I'm like, I want to be a man of humility, not pride. I want to be a man of integrity no matter who I am, where I am, and what's going on and who's there. That's the thing that I see in Joseph that I want to see. And he was wise and he was dependent on God. Do you remember when Pharaoh said, hey, wait, I've had this dream? And he has the opportunity to just kind of like step in and go, good thing you've got me here because I'm awesome and I can interpret dreams. No, what did he say? He said, I can't tell you the answer, but I do serve a God who will give all the answers to you if you will just listen. That's what he said. So he is wise and he depends on God. And he is just a beautiful example of what God is doing if we want him to do and let him to do that. And then finally, he was a man of forgiveness and grace, even when he had the power. Now, I don't know about you, but praise God, there have been times where enemies of mine, I did not have the power to do to them what I wanted to do to them in the moment that I wanted to do it to them. Can I get an amen, or is it just me? I mean, isn't it good to know that sometimes God doesn't answer that prayer because, you know, frankly, half of you would be in jail. Can I get an amen? Well, right, okay. Y'all are with me. I appreciate the honesty. So as we think about that for a moment, as his brothers bow down to him, and as his brothers say, our lives are in your hands, not only does it bring the dreams that he had into reality, but it also gives him the opportunity to say, revenge is something I can give right now, or I can choose to give grace. In all of these things, Joseph became a man, all of these things, and finally, a man of forgiveness and a man of grace, even when he had the power to do something to get even, and he chose not to do it. So don't miss this. We talked about this over the last couple of weeks, a few weeks back, that healthier, stronger, and better exists on the other side of the things that you and I don't want to do. This is incredibly important for us to grasp. Here's what I mean. I wrote these things down so you would kind of understand what I mean. A smaller waistline exists on the other side of the daily dessert that I don't want to give up. Can I get an amen? And on the other side of International Sunday as well. Some of y'all were not kind to my waistline. A healthier body exists on the other side of the gym that I don't want to turn off Netflix and get off the couch and go to, right? So healthier, stronger, better exists on the other side of the things that I don't want to do. Now, I've got more, but let me just share this. What I'm talking about is for many of us, we say, I want to be that person, that man of humility and grace and wisdom and all of those things, but we don't want to do the things that take us to that place. We don't want to make the sacrifices in the moment that we know we should make to become that kind of person. You guys understand what I mean? So for most of us, it's incredibly important that we grasp. As Joseph's brothers stand before him, who are the ones that are held in chains of remorse and fear of the truth? And who is the one that's living in joy and freedom? His brothers are petrified that they might not, you know, not be able to even walk out of the room and live. And Joseph, the one who is actually wronged, is the one who is not held in any chains whatsoever. But how did he get there? He got there by saying, what is past, and I will forgive, and I will let it go, and I will not allow it to be something that rules my life or ruins this relationship. I'm not going to let it rule my life, and I won't let it ruin my relationship. I'm going to say this one more time. It will not let it ruin my relationship. For some of you, forgiveness is something that you do not want to do, but it is something that will change the relationship that you really want to make it, but you don't want to forgive. This is what I'm talking about. It exists on the other side of that thing that you do not want to do. Now, don't raise your hands. These are not going to be nearly as funny, okay? Deeper spiritual life exists on the other side of consistent church attendance. Deeper spiritual life exists on the other side of consistent Bible reading and prayer life that you've hoped for but have not gone to any lengths to properly maintain. A healthier marriage exists on the other side of controlling your temper and controlling your tongue, and you don't want to do either one of those things. A better financial life exists on the other side of learning how to control spending and your saving habits. Better mental health exists on the other side of connecting with others, but depression has pulled you away from people that could help you. So you resist and you run from that thing that brings you what you're looking for. A stronger relationship with your kids exists on the other side of an apology that you as a parent should give, but you don't want to. So you don't give it, and you fail to get the victory. And I could go on and on. If you guys are with me and I've hurt your feet long enough for stepping on your toes, can I get an amen? All right, so I'm going to keep moving. But I just share with you, the victory that you're looking for is on the other side of that thing that you probably don't want to do, but probably could change your life if you choose to do it. So real quickly, let's talk very briefly about the divisions of Joseph's life. We talked about the dreams from age 1 to 17, from age 17 to about 30, and then from 30 until his death. These are three different, very distinct divisions of his life. And as we looked at it, we talked about a family feud that lights a fuse, and man's rage meeting God's redemption. There's that redemption word again. Let's talk about the lesson that we can learn from this first section of Joseph's life. It's right here. With God, where you've been and what you've come through doesn't have to define you. No matter what it is in your past that you've gone through, it doesn't have to be the thing that still matters to the day that we're in today. You can be someone who sees victory because you've put it behind you and you said, I'm going to leave that with God. I'm not going to let it be the thing that still defines me. And so as you look at this, Joseph was brash, he was unlikable, he became the exact opposite of that later. When God's presence was upon him, everybody loved him for his character, his competence, his confidence, the things that we talk about a lot. And then he had that it factor, the spirit factor, that everybody could tell, even when they were not believers. And so wherever you've been and whatever you've come through, it doesn't have to define you, but it can help you to be the very best that you can be with God's help. This other section of Joseph's life here, the integrity that leads to influence, prospering in a pit or a prison, and then that prison to the palace, that overnight success that we talked about. And I want to just share with you, ultimately, that overnight success, notice that. I pointed it out because he was not an overnight success. It was about 17 years, 15 to 17 years in the making, and he stayed faithful in the midst of it. Here's another takeaway lesson. God's plan to do something through you always begins by doing something in you. God's plan to do something through you always begins by doing something in you. He developed Joseph into that man who was humble. Despite his extreme and overnight success in some people's eyes, he was gracious, he was forgiving, and even though the power was in his hands, he did not take revenge. These are two lessons, and I've got just one more. Let me share this with you, this third division of Joseph's life. We talked about how his brothers come back into his life, and now comes the question, will he forgive? And as we see here, all of these different places that we've been, the biggest one was a little brother's big reveal as he says, I am Joseph. I'm the one that you sold into slavery, and yet I know this. I know God's fingerprints are all over my life story, and I'm not angry. I don't want revenge. I just want a relationship with you guys and my family again. So God is accomplishing more than you know and making a greater impact than you hope. Can I just say this? My dad has been saying this over the last few years. And as I've gotten a little older and as my kids have grown up and then moved on to, living their own lives in other places, I hear what my dad used to say in my ear. He used to say, you kids, being me and my two sisters, he said, you kids make us look better than we were as parents. And I don't know exactly what that means. I mean, it's probably easy for him to say because he can't see all the warts and the flaws when I'm in Houston and he's in Oklahoma City. Amen, right? So I'm a little ways away. But he says often, you guys make us look better than we were. And I keep hearing that and thinking that same exact thing about my kids because I realize I would go back and change things when I was raising my kids. There's some things that I would do better and I would do more of. But I also see that where I was not enough, God was more than enough. And so it is a beautiful thing to just simply be faithful and do all that you can and realize that ultimately that God will take up the slack, and he will be more than we have been. He is making a greater impact than you can even realize, and he's accomplishing more in the midst of what you're dealing with than you realize. Okay, so real quickly, let's bring this to a close, and we talk about Joseph's story. So Joseph remained in Egypt, and he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. That's great-great-grandchildren. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were counted as Joseph's own. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land and to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, "Surely God will visit you, and you shall carry my bones up from here." So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt, and then they carried his bones on from there. Here's what I want to share with you. Joseph lived almost all of his adult life in Egypt. We know this. He came to power and became a man at age 30 and then lived for 80 years, basically, in a foreign land. But what did he say? "When I die, I want you to take me home and bury my bones where I actually belong. I don't belong here. I belong there." You guys hear what he's saying? So here's what I want to share with you, for you and for me. If you truly want to be a man like Joseph, you have to realize that this world is not what we are living for. If you don't live for more than what we can see right now, then you don't grasp that this place might be home, but it is not your ultimate home. That ultimately, we belong in heaven. And if our life doesn't reflect that we are just passing through in this place, but that is what we care most about, then we will never be the man that Joseph or the woman that Joseph would have been. And so ultimately, you and I have to grasp, God made me for more than I can see. He made me for a plan that is bigger than just simply these things that are happening in my life right now. He made me for more. And so I want to live here, but then I want to go and my bones be brought back to where I really belong. And then Joseph died, his brothers and all that generation. The people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied exceedingly strong. The land was full of them. And there was a new king that arose in Egypt who did not know Joseph. And then the scripture tells us that the Israelites became a nation there in Egypt. How many of you ever heard, "Out of Egypt I have called my son," right? He basically had a plan to make them a nation right there. And then when the time was right, when they were strong enough to stand on their own, he sent them out and the nation became its own nation with its own home in the promised land. And so that is so incredibly important. And here we end that story that we just heard from Tiffany reading. And as she read, I don't know if you grasped it or not, but what happened was, when the father died, when Israel or Jacob died, his brothers said, "Okay, now that dad's not around, we're not sure exactly how Joseph feels. Now that he's not here to kind of be that buffer, he might decide that now is the time that he's going to finally get his revenge." And so he says, They say, "Well, we're going to tell him that dad didn't want that to happen. We're going to kind of go in there and say, 'Dad said, make sure to treat your brothers kindly. You know, that's what he said before he died, you know.'" I don't think that's actually what happened. I think they just were lying because they were scared to death. And as they talk with him, they say, "Please show us kindness. Don't turn on us now that dad's not here." And what does the Bible say? Did you hear what Tiffany was reading? The Bible says, and they wept, or Joseph wept in front of them. He basically started crying and said, "Guys, you've missed it and you've not understood it. You didn't realize how deep this forgiveness ran. But this is the one to remember. If you'd like to remember one single verse of scripture, it's right here. He says to them, 'Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for what? For good.'" You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you what? You turn it for good. So it brings about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. In other words, guys, we exist as a family, we exist as a nation because what you meant for evil, God redeemed it. He brought it back and he changed me, but he changed all of our lives. And so we give him praise and glory for that. All right, so very quickly, I've shared this with you numerous times, but this is important and I hope you'll get it and we'll bring this to a close. Swindoll says, "It is very sweet as life passes by to be able to look back on dark and mysterious events and to trace the hand of God where we once only saw malice and the cruelty of man. Joseph has only begun to experience life's dark and mysterious events, but through it all, the hand of God will hold him close and will ultimately trace God's sovereign plan." This is early in the book, and I just love this quote, but I keep sharing it because for you and for me, I don't know what you look back on and you say, that really still stings. It still hurts. It is still a wound in my spirit. But here's what I would share. It is beautiful to come where you can begin to trace the hand of God, where you once only saw the malice and the cruelty of man. And if you can begin to see God's fingerprints on your life, it will change you from the inside out. Very quickly, let's go through these big questions and I apply. So do you see God's fingerprints on your life? Do you trust that God is doing something even when you don't see his movements in the day-to-day moments? Because God is still moving. And what is God trying to teach you or get you free from? Is it your past hurts? Is it your current habits or hang-ups? Is it your small mindsets? Is it self-focused thinking? Maybe these are the things that God wants to take away from you so that you can live a totally different experience of life. But these are the ways that we begin to grasp what God is doing here. And then finally, make it a mantra. They intended it for harm, but God will use it for my good. You just say that whenever you hear somebody tearing you down, or you see somebody doing something that hurts you, or when you're in the moment of where you're quiet and your mind starts speaking to you and you see these are the things that they did and it could have absolutely broken me down. Instead, say, you know what? They meant it for evil, but God has redeemed it and brought about something good. He's bought back the evil and he's turned it for my good. Then tell someone how God is at work in your life now before the story ends. And I share that with you because ultimately for many of us, we want to wait and see that the story ends well and then we'll tell the story. But the truth of the matter is that that's not faith, that's sight. And we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. And so ultimately we say, okay, the Lord is going to bring it about. And I'm going to tell you now while I'm in the midst of this that he is at work and I'm going to trust that he will bring it about. And then take note of God's fingerprints when you see them and tell someone who will remind you later, because ultimately for you and me both, as we walk through this life, we grasp that sometimes our feelings will lie to us. Our mindset will lie to us. And those things that we think will not be actually true. We'll talk more about that in Renewed Minds, I promise. But as I see this, and as you take note of God's fingerprints, tell them, remind me of this later when my faith falters so you can strengthen me in these things. Now, I hate to say goodbye to Joseph. I really do. I hate to see this man's life that was so powerful and so impactful, but I do know that there's much that we can take away. And he was a man who had God's greatest plan in his life, and it was happening, and he was participating. And I encourage you to be that kind of man, that kind of woman that is changed by God's plan, that lets him remake you and then redeem all that you have been through to bring it about and take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. Heavenly Father, as we end our time with Joseph and as we end these things that we have seen in his life, I just pray that, Lord, you would be foremost in our mind, that we would not see the circumstances of our life happening and not see as well the fingerprints that you bring to the things that we face. And Lord, the way that you are bringing about a change in us, making us new people, but also, Lord, putting us on a path where we accomplish good and great things because of what we have been hurt by, and yet turn and be a blessing through. Lord, help us to always use our problems as our platform. Help us to always be people who take the past that we have and say, it's not anything that stands before the presence of God. No, I'm on God's plan. And may we be the people who forgive, live with integrity, and change as you direct and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray.